Continuing our study from the book of 1 Corinthians this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8. This morning we're looking at the rest of the story. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 8. Would you stand with me as we read from the precious Word of God? Verse 8 says, "Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love." Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, again we thank you for your word. We thank you for the knowledge that is within the pages. And we thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to look into your word, that we may know you and be drawn to you and have fellowship with you. And now, Lord, I pray that you'll instruct us from your word. Give us understanding that, Lord, we may better know you. That we may better serve you, that our lives would bring honor and glory to you. And Lord, we especially pray for those in this service who are lost. You know them, Lord. They know that they have no relationship with you. And Lord, we pray that you'll begin to convict them even now of their lost condition. Help them to realize the love that you have for them, the desire that you have for them. Lord, I pray today they would come to you for salvation. And I pray, Lord, you would just speak your word through me, that it not be my message, but it be yours. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. All right, as we teach this lesson today and this message today, I want you to understand when I talk about their spiritual gifts that have been removed or abolished or no longer are in effect, I do not believe that there are some things that God can't do. And the reason that I say that is because there are people who would back up and say, "Well, Brother Doug, that means you just don't believe God performs miracles." I believe God can do anything He wants to do. All right? He can heal those of terminal illness. He can change the world. He can do anything because He's God. But I do want you to understand in our teaching today that there are some things that He has changed in the way that He deals with mankind. And that's what we're talking about today. And we begin with the powerless gifts, the gifts that are no longer empowered or used of God. Paul said, in verse 13, he said, "Where there be prophecies, they will fail." Now, prophecies, of course, were inspired utterances, or God would speak to men directly, and He would tell them instruction that He had for them, or He would tell them the future, what the future held, and then they would pass that along to other people. It's called prophecy, the gift of prophecy, and it was the only way that man had of knowing God's will and God's plan for mankind. And even though they had this gift at this time, Paul wrote, Paul tells that there's coming a day when that gift will be abolished. Imagine, if you will, and I like to imagine, but imagine, if you will, having a conversation with God. I mean, literally. Okay? And these guys talked to God. They received instruction directly from God. But Paul said, that's going to stop. That's going to stop. Can you imagine God stopping that line of communication? What in the world are they going to do when God says, okay, there'll be no more prophecy? It doesn't sound good, does it? He said, where there are tongues, the tongues will cease. And as I mentioned last week and the week before, the word tongues is languages. It is always language. It is not some mindless babble. It is a language of communication. And the purpose of tongues were so that people of all races could hear the gospel. Can you imagine what it would have been like that no matter where you were, no matter what language those people spoke, you could share Jesus Christ with them in their native language. Can you imagine that power? You didn't have to worry about where you were or what language they spoke. God empowered them to share the gospel. But Paul says, the tongues will cease. Can you imagine coming to that day when you couldn't share the gospel of Jesus Christ because of language barrier? What are they going to do? Paul said, where there's knowledge, it will vanish away. Now, this is really an important one, the gift of knowledge. The gift of knowledge was insight and understanding of God. And it was the only way of truly knowing God was a gift of knowledge. You know, I kind of liken it to us. We talk today about being intimate with God and having an intimate relationship. And that's kind of what this was, knowing how God felt, knowing what God wanted, knowing the desires of the heart of God. This was that personal relationship and that intimacy that God would share and give men the gift of knowledge so that they could share with others and understand that it was a relationship that God wanted. But Paul said, where there's a gift of knowledge, it will vanish. It's all going away. I don't know. This sounds good. Can you imagine prophecies, having conversations with God? Can you imagine speaking different languages that you weren't trained in? Can you imagine having a special knowledge or insight to God Himself? This was awesome. And Paul says, it's stopping. It's stopping. Why? That would be my question. Why, God? Why are you taking these awesome gifts from us? Because something else is coming. Perfection was coming. Paul said, when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away with. You see, they had, at this time that they were using these miraculous spiritual gifts, they only had partial knowledge. That word part or partial means literally a piece. And we would use it in this context. We had a piece of the puzzle. As God was empowering these men with these miraculous spiritual gifts, He was only giving them a piece of the puzzle because it was all that they could handle at that time. But they couldn't handle the big picture. And if this was all that, if this is where that the early church stayed, they would never have come to the point of widespread knowledge of God, because God was just giving them bits and pieces. It was all that they were ready to handle. And so Paul said, with that which is in part to be done away with, when that which is perfect comes, there was going to be a time in their future in which something perfect was coming. Now that word perfect, I want you to understand, we think of perfect as flawless. And what's coming is going to be flawless. But as it's used there, and in the context that it's used there, it means complete. When that which is complete is come. Now I've heard people say, several times, well, they must be talking about Jesus there when that which is perfect is come. It's not talking about Jesus, okay? Listen up, everybody get this. They're not talking about, or Paul is not talking about Jesus. Because first of all, Jesus is not of that. And secondly, Jesus has already come, okay? He's already been there. And thirdly, people say, well, it's talking about the second coming. When the second coming comes, these spiritual gifts are not going to be taken away. Okay, that's not, it's just completely out of context. It's something else. It's something else that's better. When Paul said these things are going to be taken away because it's only a partial knowledge of God, but God is going to replace them with something that is complete, that is perfect, that is flawless, something that will be even more fulfilling than anything you've ever experienced before. Oh, this is getting exciting. Now, mind you, it would be pretty awesome to have a one-on-one conversation with God. But when God says, I'm going to tell you the rest of the story, I'm going to give you the whole plan, we're going to give you the whole puzzle so you can see the big picture, that sounds exciting. You know what? That which is perfect is? That which is complete? You know what it is? I would dare say that probably every individual in this congregation has been given that which is perfect, that which is complete. I would dare say that you have several in your home. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Word of God. Amen. I'm talking about what Paul is talking about. He's saying, we do not have the Bible right now. We do not have the big picture right now. But one of these days, the written Word will be completed and people will be able to know everything they want to know about God. Isn't that cool? You see, sometimes we forget what we hold in our hands. We forget what we have in our homes. Do you understand the gift that God has given? We know how it all began. You want to know where you came from? Go to the book of Genesis. Don't go to the science class. I am not a descendant of a monkey. Okay? It's just no. God said, let there be, and there was. That's where we came from. You want to know? Go read it in the book of Genesis. Oh, the beginning is all there. You want to know how it ends? Turn to the back of the book of Revelation, and we find out how it all ends. We know the stories in between. We know the story of the Savior who came to this earth to seek and to save that which is lost. We know how He came not to serve or not to be served, but to serve. And we know how He came to die and be sacrificed because you and I are sinners. And because we know we have that story, that revelation of Jesus Christ, we know that there is hope for unworthy sinners like us. It's all in there. It's all in that which is complete. There we find the way to eternal life. There we find instruction about how to live. You want to know how to live? You want to know how God thinks? Open that Bible. Get into the Word. You'll find out how to be a good husband. Get into the Word. You'll find out how to be a good wife, a good father, a good worker, a good employer. Get into the Word. You'll find everything you need to know for this life and the life to come. I mean, it's a complete book. It's a whole book. Nothing is lacking. That's why Paul said, look, we've got bits and pieces. Oh, but the complete is coming. The completed Word of God that will equip all saints. You see, what they were doing is they were planning for the maturity, or God was planning for the maturity of the church. Paul said, when I was a child, I was childish. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. It's because that's what children do. And the reason that Paul put that statement in there, he was comparing being childish or an infant to where the church was at that time. It was in its infancy. The church couldn't, it was going to have to grow and mature. And those spiritual gifts, those miraculous spiritual gifts such as tongues and prophecies and words of knowledge, those were for to mature them to the point where they wouldn't need that anymore. Paul said it's like looking into a mirror, a dim mirror. Have you ever looked into a mirror that was dirty or smudged or broken and tried to fix your hair? Yeah. Beth got a makeup mirror. I mean, it's cool. Men, have y'all ever looked into a makeup mirror? It's got lights all around it. And I want to tell you, if you don't want to see what you look like, you better not put your face in that makeup mirror. Because those lights will reveal things. You know, me personally, I kind of like standing back from the bathroom mirror and saying, "Oh, that's good enough, let's go." But those makeup mirrors, they're sharp and they're illuminating and they show you what you really look like. Sometimes it's more than we want to see, you know. That's why I don't look in it very often. I leave it to bed. But Paul is saying here that those spiritual gifts that he's talking about were like looking into a mirror. Not that makeup, that bright and clear and brilliant makeup mirror, but it's like looking into a smudged mirror. Where you study and you look and you think and you move around and you just get this dim picture of what you look like. Oh, but when that which is perfect is come, and you know what that is? That is, of course, as I said, the Bible. Paul said, when I grew up, I started to see more clearly. I put away the childish things. And he was talking about the church when he said, we shall know as we're known. He's talking about the church maturing and having the Word of God. And let me tell you something. As you look into the Word of God, it's supposed to be like a mirror to you. James talks about it in James chapter 1. You being not about us not being a forgetful hearer of the Word of God. That being a forgetful hearer is like looking into a mirror and seeing yourself and then going away and forgetting what manner of man you are. Paul's got the same same idea here when he said the Word of God is like a mirror. When that Word of God comes, it'll be like looking into that crystal clear makeup mirror that shows the flaws and shows the hairs that are out of place and shows what's wrong. And you know what the good thing about seeing what's wrong? It's fixing it. Have you ever looked into a mirror and your hair's all messed up and your face is all out of place? And walked away from it, never did anything about it. You know, there are people that they don't want to hear the truth. There are people that don't like to get into the Word of God because it's convicting and it shows us. But you know what? The glory of the Word of God is being shown where we're messed up so that we can be fixed by the Holy Spirit of God. And so that as we walk away from that mirror, others can look at us and we can be, as we are commanded, the light of the world, so that the people of the world may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. You see, Paul is foretelling of this great day when the Word of God comes, when we have the whole story, when we can be fully equipped to serve the Lord. The book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, a reminder of how it's supposed to work. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, there's that word again, may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Why was the Word of God so important? And why was Paul foretelling the Word of God? He's foretelling because he's giving hope that we can be fully equipped to serve the Lord. Do you realize we have everything we need to be everything God wants us to be in the Word of God? Oh, that's how precious the Bible is. And you know, sometimes we forget. We forget to read. Sometimes when we open the Bible, we just read. And we forget it's God speaking to us. Do you realize, as you look into your Bible, and it doesn't matter if it's you may have a Bible, you may have it on your phone, you may have it on your iPad or other tablet, it doesn't matter. It's the Word of God. And as you look into it, oh my friend, it's God having a conversation directly with you. Isn't that cool? I mean, the gift of prophecy, it only came to a few people. The gift of knowledge, it only came to a few people. The gift of intimacy with God is here for all. Through the Word of God. You can have it all. Because that which is perfect has come. The completed Word of God is here. Now, what I want you to get today, I don't want you to think that there are no spiritual gifts left, because there are. Okay? There are spiritual gifts left that have been preserved and that will be preserved throughout the existence of this earth. Those spiritual gifts are faith. Say them with me. Faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. You say, well, Brother Doug, those are... You can't see those. Oh, but you can. Oh, Brother Doug, those are not miraculous big gifts. Oh, but they are. Let me tell you, let's take faith for example. Faith is confidence and reliance upon. What happens when there is no faith? What happens when there is no confidence that there is no one greater than you? What happens when you have no person that you can rely on, no one that you can count on? What happens when it's just you and you is all there is? I can tell you, it's a depressing state. It's a depressing state. But what happens when there's faith? Well, what happens when there's faith is, first of all, there's salvation. Okay? By placing our faith, our trust in God, committing our life to Jesus Christ, there comes the salvation. And then the glorious thing about faith is that you begin to realize that it does not matter what happens in this life. You are kept in the hand of Almighty God, and no one can take you out. Your relationship with God doesn't change because of circumstances. Your relationship with God doesn't change because of how you feel. You know, that is an awesome thing. There are some days I just don't feel good. Some days I feel great. But you know what? It doesn't matter how I'm feeling. God's still God, and He's still my King. He's still my Savior. And I can still count on Him no matter what. Do you have that knowledge? If not, my friend, you need to be saved. You need to experience this gift of faith. This gift of knowing that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, but the gift doesn't stop there. You know, the gifts do not stop there. There's hope. Hope is expectation. And it's not, I hope this happens. It's, I'm expecting this to happen. Listen, what happens when there is no hope? When this life becomes all that there is. Paul said, if in this life only I have hope, we're of all men most miserable. What happens when hope is gone? Depression. Have you ever looked forward to something so much, and when it happened, you were disappointed? You think, well, that wasn't all I thought it was going to be. That didn't pan out. That wasn't nearly as great as I had expected. We've always all been there. Let me tell you something. That's disappointing. But we have an expectation that this life is not all there is. And let me tell you this about this expectation. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There is a hope that extends beyond this life. I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul, and I'm putting it in my own language. Apostle Paul, he was talking about the sufferings of this life. He said the sufferings of this life, he was convinced, would not even compare to the glory that awaited us in the next life. Let me tell you something. You're not going to be disappointed when you open your eyes in heaven. There is a hope. There is an expectation. There is a knowledge that Jesus has prepared a place for those who belong to Him. And I want to tell you, life going through this life is a whole lot better knowing that this isn't all there is. Like I said, you have those things you look forward to, and you get there, and it's not all you thought they were. And you get to thinking, boy, is this all there is to life? When you get to thinking, is this all there is to this life? You just start thinking about the next life. Okay? The next life where there's no tears. Can you imagine? No tears. You'll never cry again. Can you imagine? Streets of gold. Can you imagine being in the presence of God Himself? Oh, let me tell you something. What a gift it is to have that knowledge inside your heart. That this life's not all there is. Then, finally, that spiritual gift of love. What happens when there's no caring? You have a selfish world, self-centered, prideful, destructive, look out for number one, nobody else matters, community. That's what happens when there's no love. I thank God for the gift of love. Because without the gift of love, you and I wouldn't know how to love. What am I talking about? Paul said the greatest of these is love. The biggest of these is love. Oh, here's your spiritual gift. God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's love. That's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's the gift of love. Greater love has no man than He laid down His life for a friend. That's love. Let me tell you something. That's what Jesus did for you. That's what Jesus did for you. Do you understand that love? Do you understand that when there was no hope for you, when you had no place to turn, it was Jesus that displayed His great love by going to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin and for mine? That's love. Have you experienced it? Let me ask you, have you ever tried to love somebody that didn't want to be loved? There are a lot of people today that Jesus has tried to love that don't want to be loved. Oh no, Jesus, it sounds good, but I want to do my own thing. No, Jesus, not right now. One of these days maybe, but right now is not good for me. All the while, the invitation goes out, come unto me. I love you. I've proven to you that I love you. I gave my life so that you could live. Now come unto me. Are you that individual that says, no, I don't want to be loved right now? Have you ever been in a place where you felt unloved? Been among a people, a community or whatever, where you just felt nobody liked you? Nobody cared for you. We've all been there at some point or another. Maybe it was in a school classroom, or you know, maybe it was at work, and nobody likes me. I want to tell you, that's a sad place to be. I hate that feeling. Lost person, that's where you are right now. you have nobody. Even though Jesus cries out to you, come, come, come. I love you. Come. Forever you've been saying, no, no, no. I want to stay in this state away from love. Why? Why? When Jesus gave His all, the greatest gift ever given, the gift of love, so that you could have eternal life. Now, why in the world would you tell Jesus no and stay in a place where you were not loved? This morning, it's time to be saved. It's time for you to come to know Jesus Christ. And we're going to have an invitation. And I would invite you to come forward in this invitation. Take me or Brother Greg or Brother Michael by the hand and say, you know, tell us you want to experience the love of God through salvation. There's only one way to do that. You pray for it. You ask for it. Okay? Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we're going to get on our knees and we're going to pray with you. Choose love today. Whatever your spiritual condition, I would just ask you, listen as the Lord convicts and respond according to His leading. Our Father in heaven, thank You, Lord, for the day. Thank You for Your Word. Oh, Lord, that gives us the rest of the story. That's our all-sufficient rule of faith and practice. Thank You, Lord, that through Your Word we can know You. Thank You, Lord, that through Your Word there are words of life. Thank You, Lord, for the full revelation of Yourself through Your Word. Now, Lord, as we come to this invitation, I pray for those in this congregation who are lost. You know who they are. You know the ones that have been fighting You. Lord, I pray that You'll convict them right now. Draw them to You and give them the courage to step out and call upon You for salvation. Thank You, Jesus. In Jesus' name.